It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Are those cracks in the Republican armor? The two top Republican leaders in Congress were on opposite sides on Tuesday over the Republican National Committee's resolution to censure Representatives Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger because they serve on the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection. In the text of the resolution, the party referred to the committee's investigation, quote, as, quote, a Democrat-led persecution of ordinary citizens engaged in legitimate political discourse, and accused Cheney and Kinzinger of hurting the House and the Republican Party. But Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell disagreed.
It was a violent insurrection for the purpose of trying to prevent the peaceful transfer of power after a legitimately certified election.
Just to reiterate, as some brains automatically tune out the sound of Mitch McConnell's voice, he said it was a, quote, violent insurrection aiming to prevent the peaceful transfer of power after a legitimately certified election. He also said it wasn't the Republican Party's job to single out Republican lawmakers for criticism just because they have different views on an issue. But wannabe Speaker Kevin McCarthy defended the language because, of course, he did. But anything he says should be discounted because, remember, he called it out for what it was shortly after the uprising before he denied what we all saw happen in real time.
The president bears responsibility for Wednesday's attack on Congress by mob rioters. He should have immediately denounced the mob when he saw what was unfolding. These facts require immediate action by President Trump. Accept his share of responsibility. Quell the brewing unrest. And ensure President-elect Biden is able to successfully begin his term.
Activists are working to block Republican Congressman Madison Cawthorn from running for re-election in North Carolina, arguing that he stoked violence by telling the insurrectionists it was, quote, time to fight just days before the attack. The next deadline to avoid a government shutdown over funding, February 18th, is fast approaching. So the House on Tuesday approved legislation to fund federal government agencies through March 11th and avoid a chaotic shutdown of many of Washington's operations. March 11th? Great. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky said in a radio interview Tuesday that the agency has not changed its mask guidelines, urging all schools to encourage students to wear well-fitting face coverings indoors, and adding that everyone should wear masks in public indoor settings with substantial risk of coronavirus infection. She stressed that we still have 290,000 cases every single day, and our hospitalization rates are now higher than they ever were, even at the peak of the Delta surge. Her comments came as a growing number of states this week announced that they would soon be dropping indoor mask mandates now that cases driven by the Omicron variant are falling. To our Canadian neighbors to the north, stop listening to American right-wingers. Canadian self-described freedom convoy drivers have now spread their protest against COVID-19 restrictions from Ottawa to the U.S. border, where they partially blocked an auto industry supply chain lifeline connecting Windsor, Ontario with Detroit. Canadian-bound traffic across the Ambassador Bridge was shut down early Tuesday. Limited U.S.-bound traffic did get through. But protesters and idling trucks and other vehicles also blocked traffic early Tuesday at access points between Alberta and Montana. And it's not just here. Lawmakers in Australia said they feared that local Freedom Convoy-inspired protests that have continued peacefully for 8 days in Australia's capital city of Canberra could deteriorate. In the "what took you so long" category, the House of Representatives Tuesday passed the Postal Service Reform Act. It would overhaul the U.S. Postal Service's finances and allow the agency to modernize its service after 8 years of losses. The Postal Service Reform Act would require retired postal employees to enroll in Medicare when eligible and drop that previous mandate that forced the agency to cover its health care costs some 75 years in advance. Those two measures would save the Postal Service nearly $50 billion over the next decade. The U.S. Postal Service's dire financial condition has kept the agency from modernizing and prevented plans to replace the vast majority of its aging vehicle fleet with electric trucks. The bill cleared the House in a big bipartisan way, 342 to 92. It now heads to the Senate, where it's expected to be voted on by the end of next week. Then they just need to dump Louis DeJoy and bring the U.S. Postal Service back to its former glory. So, lots of breaking news this past week with revelations mounting about the former guy's frequent actions running afoul of the Presidential Records Act. While several reports detail the former guy ripping up important records while in office regularly, despite federal laws meant to preserve such documents, Republicans have remained largely silent. This hypocrisy is particularly notable after the party spent years railing against Hillary Clinton for using a private email server for government and personal business. Their silence about Trump's actions are particularly galling, especially when you go back just over 2 years to the former guy's final State of the Union speech, when Nancy Pelosi ripped up her copy of the speech. This was not an official government-protected document. It was her copy of the speech. When Donald Trump was oh so offended by the action, yeah, Trump showing that he knew what he was doing was certainly illegal, though what Nancy Pelosi did wasn't. Prosecutors in Minnesota on Tuesday charged 17-year-old Mickey Speed with second-degree murder in the case that police were investigating when they conducted a no-knock raid and shot and killed 22-year-old Amir Locke. The cops were looking for Speed, who was Locke's cousin, when they rushed into the Minneapolis apartment where Locke was sleeping on a couch. An officer fatally shot him when he grabbed a handgun. Speed now was charged with shooting and killing Otis Elder in what witnesses described as a drug deal that went bad. Locke's death has set off more protests and a Monday march on City Hall demanding that Mayor Jacob Frey fire the officer who shot Locke and the interim police chief. Frey has suspended the use of no-knock warrants in the city. Meanwhile, in a somewhat related case, the ACLU of Minnesota won a settlement agreement that includes an $825,000 award from Minnesota State Patrol in response to the Minnesota State Police attacks on journalists during the George Floyd and Dante Wright protests. Minnesota, what's going on there? And finally, from the Sunshine State, the Florida State Senate is on the verge of confirming a Surgeon General who not only participated with a group of alleged doctors claiming that ivermectin would cure COVID, but in his second confirmation hearing on Tuesday, the so-called doctor declined to disclose whether or not he's received a coronavirus vaccine. Joseph Latipo, appointed in September by Governor Ron DeSantis, has attracted national scrutiny over his close alignment with the governor in opposing COVID-19 vaccine mandates and other health policies embraced by the federal government. On Tuesday, Democrats grew visibly frustrated with Latipo, accusing him of evading questions and endangering public health through what they described as a laissez-faire approach to vaccines. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com and please click on that donate button.